means we do need your help. We are doing any number of things around the world. And I wanted to share this with you, and we've made no decision on this. We don't quite know what we're going to do yet. But I would ask you to pray about this with me. Brother Michael in Pakistan, who we have supported his family through the years, if you will remember, they lost everything that they have in this recent Islamic uprising that they had in Pakistan. And of course, they lost everything, and we spent a lot of money getting them clothing, getting them furnishings in their house. We spent several thousand dollars helping them. But one of the things that he lost was his motorcycle. And his motorcycle is how he gets his children to school, is how he gets to the market. It's not like us here. We can just jump on the bus line or jump on the rail and we can zip to wherever. They don't have that there. And so just be praying about this with me, whether or not we should pull our resources together and purchase him another bike. I think it would probably be well under $2,000. I don't have an exact price, but just be praying about it with me, and we may return to that at some time and just see if the Lord would have us to lift that burden off of them. Will you do that? Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Psalms, chapter 147. Psalms 147. I want to talk about God today. And many times within the Christian community, when we think about God, we think about God as being like us, only super. We see him as being like a superman. But that's the wrong idea of God. He's not like us, just super. He is entirely different from us in every single respect. And so I want to just kind of focus for one moment this morning before I get into the body of this sermon and kind of point out who he is, just one of his attributes. Psalms chapter 147, just going to read one verse here, which is verse 5. And the psalmist writes, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Stop right there. His understanding is infinite. Infinite means that there is no end to it. It means there is no beginning. It's immeasurable. It's incomprehensible. It's more than we can fathom. That's a description of his understanding. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the offering that we'll be receiving today. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless these families, Lord, here in the worship room, across the online experience, that give in support of this ministry. And we ask you for your leadership concerning this bike for Michael in Pakistan. You tell us what you want done, Lord, that we're not operating in the flesh. And Father, I ask you to help me with this sermon today, that, Lord, I might become transparent and disappear, and that you might step to the fore and speak directly to your people. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. His understanding is infinite. It's hard for us to grasp infinite because we are finite. We have a limit to how big our brain is. We have a limit to how much we can understand. But God doesn't have that. And so we struggle sometimes with understanding how God describes himself, which is this is a self-description that God gives to himself. He's the one who inspired the writer of this psalm. His understanding is infinite. Jesus described it this way. He said, "Nowhere on the planet does a sparrow fall out of the sky that God is not fully aware of it." And then he followed that by saying, "All the hairs of your head are numbered." Get that. God's got, he knows how many hairs are in all of our heads right now. And at any particular second, he knows how many hairs are there. Not just the sum total. He knows on my head, he knows hair number 3 from hair number 400. And he knows that across the whole spectrum of humanity, everyone on the planet today, his understanding is infinite. There are scientists now that calculate as they look out at the visible universe, they can't even count the galaxies. There's so many of them. And each of the galaxies on average has a billion stars in it. So they definitely can't count those. But they've done estimates. And they think the number of stars in the visible universe is 10 to the 24th power. It's 1 quadrillion stars is what they think is in the universe. It's 1 followed by 24 zeros. But it says in Psalms 147, just the prior verse, he telleth the number of the stars. He knows exactly how many stars, and stars are exploding and new ones are being recreated all the time. He's aware of all of it. He got the number. But watch this. But he calls each star by its unique individual name. Do you get that? I've got 1 daughter and 1 granddaughter. I confuse their names all the time. But God's got all of that going on, and his understanding, his ability to comprehend is beyond what you and I could possibly know. Now, I wanted to lay that foundation because in this sermon, I'm going to describe for you a time that God spoke to the entire population of this planet in an audible voice. He spoke to the whole population. So I said, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's in the book of Genesis. Where Adam and Eve were the only two on the planet, and God asked them 3 questions. Now, understand this. God's understanding is infinite. He's what we call omniscient. He never asks any questions because he already knows everything, that every answer to every question that could ever be asked. So when he asks a question, he's not asking it because he needs to accumulate more knowledge. He already has all the knowledge. He's asking it to direct our minds to ask that question so that we can accumulate more knowledge. So in the book of Genesis, the first question is laid out in verse 8 that God asked to the human race. And of course, Adam and Eve were the only ones there, but you and I were in their loins. And he's asking us these questions this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you? Now again, God didn't ask this question because he didn't know. He knew the exact tree that Adam and Eve were hiding behind. He knew what type of tree it was. He understood the intricacies of the root system. He knew how many leaves were on the limbs. He knew all of that, but yet he asked, where art thou? Because he wanted Adam and Eve to self-evaluate and ask themselves, what am I doing? Why am I here? Now we see in verse 8 that he would come and he would walk with them in the cool of the day, and they would have this time of communion, this time of prayer, that they would fellowship together. But on this particular time, God was in the place, but Adam was not there. And so I'm going to ask the question of us this morning, where are you this morning? Where are you? It never ceases to amaze me. I've had a habit over the course of my salvation. I break away early in the morning. I rise early, and I come to fellowship with God. And you can do sometimes open the door real quietly so he can't hear. Open the door quiet. And then run into the worship room at 4 o'clock in the morning. You begin to pray. He was already there. He was already there. Where art thou? Where are you at? During that time that you should, or perhaps even used to, have communion with him, where are you at now? You see, many times when God is wanting to commune with us, he's wanting to fellowship with us, we are on Instagram. That's where we're at. Come on. We are on Facebook for the older demographic. We're on TikTok, or we're on some other place, and what is happening is our minds are being captivated, and it keeps us from having communion with him. And what happens is we try to live our lives without his input. Listen, God created our lives. He created us. He breathed the breath of life in us. He wrote the directions on how we to live life. And yet we run away from him and hide ourselves somewhere. And we try to live outside of his influence. And we make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Someone said, well, you know, brother, it's not that bad. It's worse than that. We have a nation of children who don't know who their parents are. We have a nation full of marriages that are doomed. They've already collapsed, either already collapsed or they're getting ready to collapse because we don't allow God's influence. Tell me how to walk. Tell me how to treat my wife. And after you tell me how to do it, strengthen me because that's beyond my ability to do that and give me the strength to walk this life out. Where are you? Where are you this morning? Now, when God asked that, he wasn't asking Adam, where are you in terms of your geography? Where are you spatially located? That's not what he was asking. But that's what Adam said, here I am, I'm behind the tree, I hid. but that's not what God was asking. No, where are you at in your moral and spiritual walk? Where are you in your relationship with the one who created you? You see, we look for God after we're in trouble. Yeah, when we're already in trouble, we say, God, where are you at? Well, God's been saying, well, where are you at before you got in trouble? Where art thou? I'm not preaching to you today. I'm preaching to us today. I'm made out of the same flesh you're made out of, and I have to correct myself the same way you have to correct yourself. See, it's very easy for us to get overly influenced by the things we enjoy. You know, I like doing this thing, and you know, and I'll do this thing, and all of a sudden I'm doing this thing rather than doing that thing. All of a sudden I'm engaged in my hobbies, I'm engaged in the things that I enjoy doing more so than I enjoy walking with God. See, right now this morning, all of us, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, you are exactly where you want to be. You're where you want to be. If you wanted to be any further, you would go a little bit further. You are where you're at because you're not willing to sacrifice whatever it is. In other words, what you enjoy doing that's holding you from God, you put more of a value on that than you put a value on walking with God. See, God's no respecter of persons. He'll walk with whoever will walk with him. He told me many years ago, he said, I will talk to whoever talks to me, that's who I talk back to. But we've come to a place now that the question is being asked us, where are you? Where are you at? It's the first question that Adam and Eve received from the Lord. Where are you at? He did it for Adam to evaluate himself. To ask himself, my God, what in the world, what has happened to me? Just yesterday, I rejoiced when he came to the garden and his presence and his influence and his wisdom. It was my whole world. And today, I'm hiding from him. You say, you look at the early church, you look at the book of Acts. Oh, they would sit for days on end waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would just sit and just wait on God. But now at the end of the church age, we have built mega ministries all over the nation who have one unspoken guarantee. God won't talk to you here. You don't have to worry. You come here, no conviction, no blood, no cross, none of that. It's just good, juicy psychology. Where art thou? Where are we at this morning in our desire to fellowship with God? One thing I've noticed over the course of my salvation, not just my pastoral, but my salvation, is Christians refuse to pray. You know, we'll pray. You know, I call them popcorn prayers. They just pop up. You know, they're about 2.5 minutes long at best. And we're praying it while we're walking from one room in the house to the other. But there's a time every Christian needs to learn how to come aside, how to walk away from everything else, turn everything else, and find yourself alone with God. Find yourself alone with Him. The reason we don't know Him is we put forth no effort to know Him. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? That was the first question that was asked. We read on, and Adam said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Here's the second question. Who told you that? Who told thee that thou wast naked? In other words, where are you getting your information from? You see, everybody in the sound of my voice, you have a worldview. The way you view the world situation. Did you get that from Fox News Network? Did you get that from MSNBC, CNN? Is that where you got your worldview from? Or did you get it from this book? Who told you that? You see, slowly I see Christianity being pulled into the political, into the sphere of politics. And instead of having a worldview that's biblical, we have a worldview that's political. That's telling you where you're at right there. And so the second question that was asked, who told you that? Who told thee that thou wast naked? Let me rephrase it. Who told you that you could change your gender? Who told you that? Who told you you can live your life on credit? Who told you that? When the Bible said be a lender and not a borrower, who told you that? Where are we getting our information? You see, Adam had always been naked. He had never worn any clothes since God created him. But now suddenly, he had a different view of his nakedness than he had the day before. Who gave you that data of information to change your worldview to now be embarrassed of what that previously didn't embarrass you at all? Who told you that? Whatever you think, however you see the world, however you anticipate things rolling out, who told you that? Where did you acquire that information? Now, in Adam's case, he got it from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree was provided by Satan himself. Have you considered? Look at this fruit, Eve. Look at this. See, Satan, many times he does not operate himself to impact our lives negatively. He moves through a surrogate. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what news people you watch, it's a surrogate for Satan. I don't care which one it is, which acronym it is, it's a surrogate for Satan. And here's how you know, none of them talking about Mr. Epstein. Not one of them. That lets you know ain't none of them right. That should be the biggest story. It's like, who's been raping all these children? And if we can't trust him with that, how can you trust him with any other information? Who told you that? See, right now we've got the church that, man, the church is going crazy. The white hate the black, that hate the Mexican, the young that hate the old, that hate the young. We're torn. The pro-Palestinians that hate the pro-Israels. We're torn apart by politics. Where did you get that information? When this tells us to love our neighbor, not to categorize him, put a label over him and then hate that label. That's not what this taught us. Who told you that? James said in his short epistle, and I'll just read it, James 3:15. He said, this type of wisdom descended not from above. It did not come from heaven. This information that many of us reframe our lives on, the information that we receive from secular sources, and this whole world lies in darkness. There is no reliable source of information on this planet. So I said, well, surely you can trust the doctor. Nope, actually you can't. You give them enough money, they will say anything that you pay them to say. We've seen it. We've already seen that. Well, surely we can trust the preacher. Nope, actually you can't. We've seen preachers fall one after another. But you can trust this book. Hallelujah. Not one jot, not one tittle will in no wise pass away. So that whatever preacher you're listening to, you go back to this book and say, does it line up? If it doesn't line up with what this book is teaching, then you need to find a new preacher. Amen. And you will see thousands. If that happened in mega ministries, you'd see them go bankrupt all across this nation, because very few are still preaching the word. Very few are even reading the word of God, let alone preach it. Just read it. Where art thou? And then secondarily, who told you that? Who gave you the information that you are operating on? James says the wisdom descendeth not from above, but rather it is earthly. It means it stems from a naturalistic mind, a mind that it operates only on reason and knowledge and no spiritual influence whatsoever. It's earthy. It's of the earth. It comes from man's way of thinking. And then he says, not only that, it's sensual. It means it's sourced from the passions and the emotions of human beings. And this is the most passionate generation. It's ridiculous. When Big Bubba wakes up and says, well, I feel like a girl today, therefore, the whole nation, corporate America, the government goes, well, we've got to allow Big Bubba that feels like a girl to have a place in society. It's earthy. It's sensual. It's devilish. That means it comes from the pit of hell. The term devilish, if you actually look it up, it refers to the same wisdom that the demonic hosts use. Talks really about how they think through what their logic is, the demonic host, and that's now been influencing the human race. We live in a time that demons are all over. When Jesus asked Legion, he addressed Legion, and Legion said, we are many. His pronouns were we. And now we see people with pronouns that encompass more than one. Don't tell me we're not in a den. And I know you say this in the secular society, they would say, oh, preacher, you are just, man, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And I'm saying, no. The craziest thing I ever heard of is a woman getting in a ring with a man trying to beat him up because he's dressed like a woman. The craziest thing I ever heard of is multiplied millions, 64 million, if I remember correctly, babies being killed in the womb. That's what's crazy. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's evil and it's wrong, and our society is doing it. And I got to ask you again, where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that was okay? Who told you that? Did you get that from this book? Did you get that from this book? That it's fine. Kill your baby as long as it hadn't breathed. Just snuff it. You don't like being a woman anymore? They have an operation. You can become a man. Yeah, change your whole physical body and everything to the body of a man. Who told you that? We got to wake up as Christians. We're in a dangerous hour. And if you sit back mentally lazy, you would just be pulled right. The course of this world will just pull you right into it. Question number one, where are you? Question number two, what is your worldview? Who told you that? Where'd you get that information? And then question number three, verse 12. And the man said, the woman. God asked, who told thee that thou wast naked? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me. She gave me the tree and I did eat. He didn't even answer the question. You notice that? He didn't even answer the question. He just like, all the spotlights are on him. It's her. There ain't nobody else on the planet for him to blame it on. It had to be her. And could you imagine Eve when all of a sudden now, the only person on the planet who was supposed to love her just threw her under the bus right in front of God who's asking some hard questions. And so he addresses the third question to her. What hast thou done? Oh, that's a good question for us. What have you done? So before they made this terrible problem for themselves, God gave them resources. I'm giving you a planet so big that if you live 1,000 years, you can't see it all. I gave you so much water that if you drank 25 gallons a day, you couldn't drink it all. I gave you so much food. I gave you resources in overabundance. What have you done? Oh, I want to ask us this morning. God has given you resources. He's given me resources over and above, beyond what I really need to sustain myself. What have we done? You see, it matters. We could turn around and say, well, God, well, what have you done? Oh, I breathed in the dirt to make you. I sustained you all the way up to adulthood. When you were dying on dope, when you were dying on alcohol, when you were addicted to sex, I set you free. I put my son up on a cross to bleed his life's blood so that I could be back in communion with you. And now I'm having to ask, where art thou? Our prayer lives are nothing. I don't want to be too hard on us, but God, help us. God, help us. Not only do we not much pray, we don't much try. That's a heart condition. But turn that TV on, we could fellowship with that bad boy for 5 hours. And so what ends up happening is that we lose the benefit of the resources that God has given us. God had to throw Adam and Eve out of the garden and set an angel there. Don't try to come back in here. Don't try to slip back in. And can you imagine? Theologians believe it was probably about 40 days before the fall that they lived in the garden. They played with lions. They petted the head of bears. The insects didn't bother them. They didn't. It wasn't like us. We see a grasshopper, it's like. It didn't bother them. They had perfect harmony. And then in this one horrible mistake. No. It was not a mistake. It was sin. Sometimes we got to call it right. It was sin. It was rebellion against the Creator. They were thrown out, and all the resources, the lion that they used to pet, they could look at it from afar off and see it was unpettable now. The bear that maybe they used to wrestle around and play with, they could see from afar off, it's not good wisdom to go near that creature anymore. It has changed. If Adam ever pulled a rose to give to his wife Eve, the rose now had thorns that pricked him when he tried to pull it. All the resources that they were given turned into evil in their hands. Saints, the same thing happens to you and I. The resources that we were given, when we don't walk in fellowship with God, how many people now do we have that we read from day to day in Hollywood and across the news? Multiply millionaires, billionaires can't keep their marriage together. And listen, I'm going to tell you, everybody thinks they want to be a billionaire. The same problem that you got on getting your paycheck, billionaires got the same problem. The numbers are just bigger. You're not getting away. It's not like everything is wonderful. Oh, yes, you might be able to get on a yacht and float out in the ocean to worry about your problems. But you still going to have the same problems. Money can't make you happy. Now, you can run after it. It can't make you happy. I said this, I believe, last week. You were created with a hole in your heart so big that money can't fill it up. Houses and cars can't fill it up. Only God Almighty can fill the hungry heart of the human race. What hast thou done with the resources that God has given you? What have you done? You see, there's a day God is going to ask you specifically. It will maybe at the great white throne judgment. It may be at the judgment seat of Christ, but the question will be the same. What have you done? Jesus gave us forewarning. He told us a parable about a man that was taking a trip into a far country. And he gave one of the servants 5 talents. And he gave another of the servants 2 talents. And he gave another one 1 talent. And when he came back after many days, the question was, what have you done? And the one with 5 talents, he said, I've invested and I made 5 talents more. Good. You've expanded the kingdom of God. You've done good work. The one with 2, he said, I've did the same thing. I've doubled the money. And the one with 1, he said, I've done nothing. Zip, 0, nada, nothing. I've taken your talent and put it in a napkin and I've buried it there immobile. And what you gave me, I give you the same thing back. And God said, thou wicked, slothful servant, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. What is this that thou hast done? These are the 3 questions that we'd be well served all asking ourselves. This is the kind of conviction that we should bring upon ourselves. This is how we should deal with ourselves. God gave me 24 hours today. Well, today's Sunday, but let's say Tuesday. He give me another 24 hours. What will I do with it? How will I spend it? Listen, let's just be honest. All of us, we all waste a lot of time. A lot. Like most of our time. And I get it. We all have to sleep 8 hours. God knows. 8, 9, 10. God knows we have to rest these bodies. That's the way he built them. But then with the other 16 hours that are left, what are we doing? Oh, I got to go to work. Okay, Dad, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So it's another 8 hours you go to work. What about them next 8? That's where the rubber meets the road in our Christian walks. That's where we find out what we're really made out of. And I'll be honest, and we're going to see this in the next short amount of time, there is what is known as a churchgoer, and there is what's known as a Christian. And those 2 demographics overlap in the church. And when times get hard, when persecution falls, when an angry devil comes to persecute, you're going to find the churchgoers find somewhere else to be. But even though that happens, God's still asking, where art thou? Where art thou? Who told you that? And what hast thou done? Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we thank you. Oh, God, let this message just pierce my heart. Help me today, God. Help your people today. Lord, that we allow you to pierce us through with conviction concerning our worldview, concerning our habits from day to day, what we do, what we don't do, the decisions that we make. But more than anything else, to self-evaluate where we are in regard to where you are. What is our spiritual position with respect to you? Father, we thank you for these piercing questions. You ask it from the beginning. It's echoing 6,000 years later. It still echoes, resonates in our lives and hearts. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet with me? If you're able. I'm not here to condemn you this morning. I got my own issues I have to iron out. But I'm here this morning to welcome you to reach out to God and begin to respond to Him with regard to these questions. Where are you? Are you where you should be? Are you walking where you should be walking for your age as a Christian? For the opportunities and the resources that God has given you, where are you? Ask yourself, who told me that? What I believe to be true, am I just getting that from the news channels? Am I just getting that from the government? Who told you that? Or am I getting it from the Word? And then what have I done for God? What have I accomplished for the kingdom? Come on, all over the room. You got to ask yourself. If you don't ask yourself, it goes unanswered. It's a question that no one else was going to ask you. You've got to ask yourself this morning.
Amen. Thankful for the truth this morning. Yeah, I'm thankful that we have a church that we can come and we can hear what the Word of God says. It's not psychology. It's not being a life coach, but it is the true Word of God. And we need that. We have to be, just like Pastor said, we have to be honest with ourselves and where we're at, and are we where God wants us to be? And the good news is if you're not where you're supposed to be, you can be. It's a simple turn and begin to put your trust in God. I'm so glad for that word today, and I'm so thankful for each of you that have joined us here in the house, and also those who have joined us through our webcast. We want you to know you are welcome. We hope you've had a great time in the Lord today. Before we let you go, we just have a few announcements. One, we want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to give, please take some time and do that. You can also support us online by scrolling down and clicking the donate button. Remember our food pantry. If you have, we're still looking for a few items. And also, if you are in need this holiday season, we want to be a blessing to you. You can go to ChristUnveiled.org /benevolence. Click on our benevolence tab, and there's a quick form to fill out that is completely private. And we'll get in touch with you and provide you with some groceries during this holiday season. And lastly, if you received a text from us that you gave in 2023, it is important to click that link that's in that text and respond, giving us your proper email so we can send you your year-end statement to show you what you gave so you can claim that on your taxes. So again, we thank you for being here. We appreciate you all. Drive safe, and you are blessed and dismissed.